find the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. We'll be turning in our Bibles to a few passages. I can give you some heads up to get you started. If you don't have a Bible, the Bible in the pew in front of you, black hardcover book, and you can feel free to turn that on while I turn my microphone on. Thank you, Noah. I appreciate that. And much better. Thank you. Sorry. Keep that off in case you miss that button when I'm singing. I don't want to blow everybody out of here. 2 Corinthians 8 would be a passage of scripture you could find. I'm not going to give you all of them because then you'll start timing me according to the clock as to how we get to these things. If you wanted to find Mark chapter 12, we may make it to Mark chapter 12. 1 Peter. Chapter number 4. I love the book of 1 Peter. If you're suffering because of loss, if you're suffering out of disease, if you're suffering out of illness, if you're suffering out of a broken heart, if you're suffering based on relationship, if you're suffering in any capacity, 1 Peter is the book you ought to live in for a little while. If you would go through and mark all the book, the words where it says suffering or suffered or sufferings, you will find that this is a marvelous book of encouragement to somebody who's suffering. I found in here, 1 Peter chapter 4, a phrase that I want to use to begin a series and start the new year teaching on. And I'd like to begin reading in verse number 8 of chapter number 4 of 1 Peter. The Bible says, speaking to the Christian here, "And above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves. For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift or a gift of the Spirit, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." I want to take that phrase, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, and speak to our church for a few weeks on the subject of stewardship. How many have ever heard the word stewardship before? All right, put it down. How many of this is the first time you've ever heard the word stewardship? Anybody here? Sure, we have some that are learning. You have some that have been in church a long time, and you may have been taught or heard what it is to be a steward, a stewardship. Most people just quickly associate the word stewardship with money. If money is the complete definition or the exclusive definition for you of stewardship, then there really is a gross misunderstanding of the word. Or should I say it this way? There's an incompleteness of the understanding of the word stewardship. I really believe that it is vital as we begin OA in our church at Plantation Baptist that we have an understanding of the importance that of being good stewards of what God has entrusted us to be. And I believe that God is going to use our church, and I believe that God is going to use us as a lighthouse for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that God is going to use you in your home and in your in-law relationships and in your business relationships and in your neighborhood relationships. I believe that God is getting ready to take this group of people and use us to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I say amen to that. Amen? I want God to use my life. And I know society is fast-paced and pushing us. But we have God's word. And as a Christian and as a believer, I am constantly and always supposed to go back to God's word to find my mooring. Now, if you know what a ship is, a mooring is that which anchors that, ties that, holds us there. Society will teach us to make hay while the sun is shining. Society teaches us to get all we can and can all we get. Amen. I used to like that one myself. Appreciated that. Society pushes us to success. Society pushes us to excel. Society pushes us to grow. And not all of that is bad, and I hope and pray you do that. But understand this. Society is understanding must fall in submission to biblical understanding. Amen? It must. And so my responsibility this morning, as I believe what God wants me to do, is to make sure that we don't set our alignment for 2008, and we don't set our way without an understanding of our responsibility before God as a steward of the grace of God, as found in chapter 4, verse number 10. Peter writes here and says, listen, we are good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, I asked you to find 2 Corinthians. I need to go to 2 Corinthians to show you, to help us with an understanding that stewardship is not all about money. I don't want the enemy to get a foothold here. And I don't want you to sit there and think, well, there's another message on giving or money, which I'm not ashamed to preach a message on that. But I also don't want us to be limited in our understanding and in our view. If there's anything dangerous, more dangerous to our church and to you as an individual, is for our vision to be impaired. Nobody wants to sign up to be blind. Yesterday, we were going down to the funeral service, to the graveside, to place Mary in the ground. And when we lined up by the funeral home, they gave us these stickers that we were to stick in our windows. Well, I didn't stick my sticker in a very proper place, and I found I was having a hard time seeing all the cars going by. I'm going to have my own funeral here in just a moment. And Malcolm was driving, which even made us more scary than that. So we ripped that down. We do not like to have impairment to our vision. If your vision for your business, or your vision for your investment, or your vision for your family is impaired in any way, that is a dangerous position to be. By the way, the Bible says, where there is no vision, people do what? They perish. And I would say perishing is to be a hugely detrimental thing to our being. And so don't let stewardship grab you by the throat and think just money, because otherwise we're going to be very impaired in our vision. I can prove that to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Would you pick up with me in verse number 1 as I read? Paul's writing here. He's writing to this church at Corinth. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. They were a giving church. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Matter of fact, they gave more than we even expected, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of saints. Paul said they wanted us to take this money and go and do God's work with it. They wouldn't take no for an answer. And I'm telling you, they gave more than we could have ever imagined. Now here's the key. Look at verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, not as we thought they could, but first gave their own selves to the who? To the Lord. And unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same, what's the word, church? Grace also. Now look at verse number 7. This is powerful. Therefore, as ye abound in, what's the word? Everything, in faith and in utterance or expression, in knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What grace, preacher? The grace of giving. Now, if we're not careful, we will take the thought of stewardship and we will slice out of all of the manifold grace that God gave to us. Well, let's talk about the grace God gave to us. Well, I'm breathing air today. I have life. I have health. I have goodness. I have all of the grace. I was going to say children, but I have children too. Grace. All of the manifold goodness of God. If I could give you an acronym about grace, it would read this way. Grace. See it. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. All of the riches of heaven, all of life and salvation and forgiveness and justification, everything God has been made available to me through Jesus Christ. That ought to make us say amen. All right? So an understanding of all that grace, God said, everything that I have, you are to be a steward of. Well, somehow we have sliced out this little piece of pie called money, and we have choked a horse with money. And what we've done is we can't get past the thought of stewardship. And so we think, well, I don't have a lot of money, preacher, and I don't have this, and I'm barely surviving, and the debt's up here, and the bills are here, and all this. There's no way that I could be a steward of anything of that. That's just one little piece of all the grace that God has portrayed himself on us, and I want us to have a vision of that. So our understanding that we're not just talking about money and stewardship now relieves the impairment from our vision. It's like having cataract surgery. And all of a sudden, it's removed, and there's clarity there. Let's go for it. I tried to think a little bit what you would ask while you're sitting there. Some of you may be saying, Pastor, what is stewardship? What is a steward? Well, if I was to take you to Luke chapter 19, I won't ask you to turn there. I will ask you to write it down. Luke chapter 19, verses 12 to 27, you would read about a man who was a very wealthy man who goes into another country to receive his kingdom. And while he is gone to receive his kingdom, he leaves a steward in charge of his house. Actually, he leaves three stewards in charge of his affairs. This man goes on a trip, and the steward house sits all of his assets, all of his valuables, all of his investments, all of his home, all of his family. The steward is the manager of the affairs of the household. He's the manager. Now, you may be a manager in your business. You're not the owner. There's a few of you in here I know that are managers of business, and you, would to God, you were the owner, amen? Because you do all the work and little pay, and the owner gets all the money and all of that. I understand. The manager is not the owner. Owners hire managers. Now, managers may act like they're the owners, and sometimes you got to come against that. But manager is not the owner. This man goes on a trip, and he leaves a manager of the affairs of his house. A steward is somebody who cares for the affairs of others. Now, let's go one step further. Let's say you have a business, and let me get a good business here that would traveling business. Let's say you have a car business, and you go on a trip, and before you go on that trip, you for this. So you take a guy and you say, you're the manager, all right, and you're in charge while I'm gone. Now, when you say that manager is in charge while you're gone, you're wanting that manager to do what while you're gone? Sell 10 cars. At least maintain the business. And even so, grow the business. So a steward is not only a manager, he's also an investor. He's also responsible for the forwardness of the business. That means when I leave, I come back, I want money, I want there to be profit, I want business to go forward, I want new vision in there. You're in charge, and so while you're in charge, I'm going over here, but you are to manage the affairs, you are to invest in the affairs, and I want a return when I come back for that investment. Now, as stewards of the grace of God, you and I are managers of all that God owns here on this earth. Okay? We're managers. Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, and he sent who down? Come on, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God lives in our heart. So God sent Christ. Christ died, buried, rose again, resurrected, ascended up into heaven. Christ sent the Spirit of God. How by I know that I am a child of God because I have the Spirit of God in me. So because I'm saved and I have the Spirit of God in me, I am a steward while Christ is absent. And so Christ is in heaven there with God. The Spirit of God is here. And he left me in charge to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God in my life. I am not given the same responsibility as Dave. I'm not given the same responsibility as Fran. They have to be good stewards of grace in their life. But I'm a good steward of what God gave to me. And in being a steward, then I am to be an investor. I am to bring to the Lord Jesus a return on his investment. And I need to have that kind of understanding. You say, preacher, why is that so important? Well, let's talk about investing. When you invest, you hope to gain a return. Amen? All right? We use words like gain. We use words like loss. We use bad words like taxes. Amen? All right, I understand that. Okay. None of you give money to Charles Schwab, or none of you give money into a CD and don't look for a return. Now, we know about investing. Now, the mold was broken a little bit when real estate was real hot, but normally when you make your investment, you sow that investment, there will come a harvest, but there's a time. There's a percentage yield on that. There's a time for that to grow. Now, when the real estate was hot, man, you could buy a house and turn it and sell it. You could buy this and turn it and sell it. And there for a while, we were getting quick and all that. But the normal part of investing is you invest a little money. It works for you, and there is a return. Now, don't miss this. God said through Peter that the Christian is to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God, which God has given to me, which means God, Christ, is in heaven. He has left me as a steward of what he has given to me. It's my responsibility to invest in the kingdom of God, so when Jesus Christ comes back, I have returned to give unto him. I don't want to be found to be a bad steward. 1 Corinthians says that stewards are to be found to be faithful. So when Jesus Christ comes back, I want him to get a percentage yield. I want him to get a fold. I want to give him a return. And when I see him face to face one day, I want to be able to say, here, you left me in charge of the grace you gave in my life, and I invested that grace, and I labored in that grace, and I did it over here, and here's the return, and I want you to know that I love you, Lord Jesus, and I was a steward of what God gave to me. Now, let's take this a little bit further. Well, Pastor, outside of money, what is there to be a steward of? What about your time? What about your children? What about your gifts? What about your talents? You see, God manifested grace to us. Nobody can say that we have not been touched by the grace of God. Amen? Right? And so God has given those things. It's our responsibility to follow the investment manual of God's word and to begin to take and invest in the kingdom of God so we can get a return. Now, does that mean, Pastor, that I can't own a second home? Or does that mean I can't drive a fancy car? Or does that mean that I got to have 42 children? God, no, that doesn't mean you got to have 42 children. All right? What does that mean? That means this. The number one thing that drives my thinking is I am a manager for the business of Jesus Christ. You think about that. You think about that. What God is in charge. Every single thing from my family to my money to my time to my home to my business to my gifts to my talents, everything God has given to me by grace, and I am to invest all of that so he gets a reward. Oh my goodness gracious. Well, that makes me step back and look at 2008 and say, where am I going? Now, I want to ask you a question, and I had to ask myself this question. Where are you going in 2008? Has there been a time where you've quieted yourself? God, our children are grown. They're out of the house. We got so much time in our hands. We go to bed at 6:30. God, I'm a widower. I don't even have a husband, or I don't even have a wife anymore. Well, you got time. Well, I've got this business, and I've got this and that. Well, what is that doing for the glory of God? You see, when Jesus Christ comes back, he is not going to care what has been done for temporal value. What he's looking for is what's been done for eternal value. Now, I'll enjoy temporal value if I serve the Lord. He'll take care of my needs, and those things are right. But in my thinking, I want us to understand as we move into 08, I am a manager for Jesus Christ. I am responsible to him. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know about all that because... you know, I work hard for what I have, and man, my time is priceless. I work 80 hours a week, and I get a little bit of time, and that's just my time and my family time. And I own this, and Pastor, I own this land, and I own this, and I'm the decision maker. I'm the guy that does things in my home. I'm not sure that I want to be a manager. Well, let me read you some verses about what God says. God says it this way. He says in Exodus 19, verse number 5, for all the earth is mine. Wow. In Leviticus 25, verse 23, he says, the land shall not be sold forever to Israel, for the land is mine. You're strangers with me. In Psalm 24, verse number 1, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein belong to the Lord. That's interesting. In Psalm 50, verse number 10, it says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine. Haggai said, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Listen to what Ezekiel said. God said, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. God said, I own it all. Now, because God is the owner of all things, we then are his stewards. Now, here's what the preacher wants you to understand. I'm trying to get our thinking to think that we don't own anything. Why, preacher? Because society teaches us that we own everything on our property and get off my property. And society teaches us that I have rights, and I have this, and I have this. And so if we're not careful, we'll bring our Americanism into our Christianity, and we'll begin to get real possessive. You know, I have a 6-foot-high wooden fence that goes around my property. Do you know why? I don't want my nosy neighbor looking into me. You know what? The other day I got here early, and there was a boy walking down over here with a gun on our property. Had a big old gun, big old rifle with a scope. I saw him pointing up at the trees and going, I thought, get off our property. You know, we're so much possessive. That's my space. That's my thing. And if we're not careful, we will bring the thought of possessiveness into the kingdom of God. And so what we'll do is we'll say this, God, it's my money. God, those are my children. You can't have them. This is my business, God. Get out of here. Don't you know anything about separation of church and state? God, this is my family. These are my dreams. These are my goals. These are my plans. God, this is me. I'll come to church and handle you, but I've got all of this over here. And so we think we possess all of this. The Bible says the earth is the fullness of God. And God's people said, right? So I want you to understand as a Christian, God owns all that we have. Now, if I begin to think that I'm a manager, do you know what comes with the position of managing? Accountability. Because the manager can be fired, but the owner can never be fired. Amen? See, if I don't appreciate the way you're managing my business, hasta la vista, baby. Go pack your bags. You're fired. Hit the road. See you later. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. I can get rid of you. There is accountability in the position of managing. I'll give you a verse. You listen to this verse. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. So then every one of us, that's you if you know Jesus Christ, shall give an account of himself to God. I'm going to read that again. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now listen to what he writes. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Oh, we're so good at that. That guy's got all the money in the world. That guy's so rich. Why didn't he give more money to the church? Man, they got so much time on their hands. I'm not going over there to help that church today. Let somebody who doesn't have anything to do go over there and help that church. Oh, you know those people, they do nothing. I'm not going to do it. He said this, why dost thou judge thy brother? For we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Listen, my friend, let this thought hit you. It'll change 08 for you. You are to be a steward of the manifold grace of God in your life. What does that mean? That means everything God has bestowed upon you because of Jesus Christ, God wants you to manage. God wants you to invest. God wants you to use for the kingdom of God. God wants you to use for his glory. And when Jesus Christ comes back, there ought to be souls that have been won to Christ. There ought to be children that have been used for the glory of God. There ought to have been some return on my life to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. See, but we're so... And I'll touch on this, and I'm not trying to wound you. I'm trying to challenge your thinking. What is the biblical basis for stewardship? It is this. God owns me. You see, we don't like to be owned. We don't like to be owned. We don't like to be, some can't submit to authority. But I'll tell you this, when I understand that I am not my own, the Bible says, I am bought with a price. Let me ask you this question, and don't answer it out loud, but answer it in your heart. Do you reckon God's ownership of your life? Think about that. Paul said, I am a slave. Well, if there's ever a word that has a negative content, it's slavery. Paul said, I am a slave to Jesus Christ. Do you reckon God's ownership? By the way, if you know Jesus Christ, you do not own your own life. God bought you. Amen. So, boy, get out of my life. God, I got my little fence right here. God said, I bled for you. I redeemed you. I own you. But if I'll never be a proper steward if I don't recognize that God owns me and God owns everything. God owns everything. The wealth in every mind. The earth is the Lord's. The true person of the Bible has no problem here. You know, the basis for stewardship is understanding that. The personal motivation is this. In the Old Testament, the Old Testament saints, they were always under the shadow of the Exodus. God did such a thing for them, bringing them out of Israel or out of Egypt there, that they should have loved him and did whatever he commanded. In the New Testament, we hide under the shadow of the what? Of the cross. You see, Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for us and purchased us. And the motivation of my life and stewardship is based on the fact that Christ loved himself and gave himself for me. And if he gave himself for me and redeemed me so I don't have to go to hell, if God did not withhold the most precious thing to him, his son, how could I deny God's ownership and the understanding of what God has in my life and not serve him with my own heart? That is the motivation. You see, motivation grows out of the fact that we love him and that we desire to give to him. You see, we're so far past money now that to say that stewardship just equals money is to be trite with God's word. We're talking about your mind. We're talking about your will. We're talking about your very existence. We're talking about everything God has entrusted you with. You are a manager, and Jesus is coming one day, and he wants return on his investment. You say, preacher, how cruel is God? Oh, I'll tell you how cruel he was. He killed his own son so we could go to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Say, preacher, could you give me an illustration? Oh, let me give you a good one. Go to Mark 12. We're getting done early. It's only 12 o'clock, and we're going to be done in 2 minutes. Kevin, don't you say he's not telling the truth. Kevin always thinks that every time I say that. Mark chapter 12. He knows me better than anybody probably. Mark chapter 12. Look at verse number 41. You remember this little story about the widow mite? The Bible says in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. What does that mean? That means when it was offering time, Jesus did this. Whoa! The disciples were looking. Man, didn't put anything in. That's what he said. He was looking at them. Keep reading. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites. I mean, just barely enough to call money, which makes a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. What do you mean, preacher? They dumped in thousands. She just gave pennies. For all they did cast in of their abundance. See, that was like, we're going to take what we need. Here's our possession. Okay, God, you have the leftovers. Now, for them, their leftovers were quite a bit. But God got leftovers. Look what he says here. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her what, church? Her living. Now, here's what stewardship is, and we're finished. Stewardship is this. God, not only my finances, not only things that are dear to me, but God, I cast my whole living on you. I submit everything in my life. I reckon that you are the owner of all things. I reckon that you purchased me with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I reckon that I am a steward. steward who is responsible for an eternal investment for the glory of God. And so, God, I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of things people think that you need to serve God. But here's what I do have. I have enough faith to give you my life. Now listen, church. We better understand that we're stewards. And if we would submit ourselves to the position of managing all that God has given to us by grace, do you know what kind of testimony and power we could have for the Lord Jesus Christ in South Florida? Do you understand the souls that could be won to Christ? Do you understand how far missions could go? Do you understand how far ministry could go in this church, in your home, in our community? If we would just simply stop following what society teaches and understand that we serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. And I'm a manager of God. I get to labor for God. I get to make investment for God. I don't want to withhold anything for service for the King. Here's my children. Here's my wife. Here's my plans. Here's my goal. Here's what little money I got. God, I want to be a steward for you. Now, God, show me what to do. And you know what God will do when a man wants to know what God wants him to do? God will show him what he wants to do. Now, here. Now, just think about this. Let's all think. In a few days, you're going to do your taxes. I hope you're going to do your taxes. Let's go on record. It is right to pay your taxes. Preacher said that. He said, Preacher, I don't believe that. Okay, well, you take it up with Jesus. Go out there to the ocean, catch you a fish. Get your money out there and pay your taxes. If you need a fishing partner, I'll go with you. There'll probably be no money in there, but we'll have a good time. Where was I going with this? You're doing your taxes. You're going to see how you profited. You're going to see how much money. You're going to see kind of the year end of your life. Let's say the Lord Jesus shows up right after the tax man does. And the Lord Jesus says, Tom, sit down with me. Tom, go get all your pay stubs for the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Go get all your documents that show and have evidence. Go get your W-2 for the kingdom of God. Tom, go get go get all of the things I need to do your taxes for the kingdom of God. I wonder what our table would look like. Well, God, I don't know. So all year you don't have anything to show for the kingdom of God? No. I ask you this question. In 07, what return did Jesus Christ get from your life? If you say, Preacher, you can get any return from my life. Well, let me tell you something. There's coming a day where you'll stand before him face to face. The Bible says you'll give an account. Now, I'll never be judged for my sin, and God's people said, but I'll give an account for how I serve God with all that I have. God help us to die rich and extravagantly. And when we bury you, you hand out hundreds of thousands of dollars every year and nothing for the kingdom of God. I am a manager for Jesus Christ. It's the greatest job you could ever have. It will dictate how I live my life in 2008. And I ask you to join your preacher. Would you pray? Heavenly Father God, my desire today is to vision. We got to have proper biblical understanding. Peter said, you are to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. The variance, the extreme, the overload, the extravagant grace of God. God, in our humanity, we've just slivered out money and kind of stagnated on it, choked and died on it. But God, money is not the extent of stewardship. Stewardship is like that little widow woman. She cast in all her living. She said, here's my whole life. I want my whole life to serve the Lord. I give my whole life. I give my dreams, I give my hopes, I give my fear, I give everything. Everything she had wrapped up in the farthing. Oh, Jesus beheld that. And I know this, and I know this church, we believe that Jesus is alive today, and he is beholding us. Here we sit. All the goodness of God stuffed away in our accounts. All the time stored up in our leisure. God's beholding us. And I want the people to know that we got a calling. We got to win this world to Christ. We got to go forward in Jesus' name. Press on like the choir saying, oh, there's a reward coming. But one day all my earthly goods will burn up. That's why you said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Hallelujah. Praise God, I can do that. So God, I do challenge the people today. I challenge them good. I challenge them poignantly. I challenge them straight to their heart. What kind of investment did we make in 07? What kind of a return did we get for Christ? If none, then let's submit to getting one in 08. And let's align ourselves properly. Well, it's not hard. It's not easy. It'll take some understanding. God, I pray you help us with our vision. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just will make this comment and we'll pray. My comment is this. It's a privilege to be a steward of the grace of God, but you can't be a steward unless you're a child of God. Being a child of God means you're being born again, you've been saved. I challenge you today. If you were a Rockefeller or you were a Carnegie or you were one of the rich men of our world and our times, without Jesus Christ, understand. What does it matter if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? It's a privilege to manage for Jesus Christ. It's the greatest job and the greatest position ever. I hope and pray today that you know Christ. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Just a moment, we're going to sing. We're going to sing a hymn and we're going to sing a verse of invitation of 373, Where He Leads Me. What a great, great song. Church, I ask you this. Do you desire to be a steward of God? If His grace has been so good, why don't you come and just say, God, in 08, I want to be a good steward of you. God, give me vision. Teach me what to do. Maybe your coming will help somebody come and be saved. Stand if you would. Page 373. God, have your way. I pray. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.